this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Bobby Wilson, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm talking to you from France, and you're in Miami in yes. Florida.
Yes, sir.
So that's good. What's the weather like in Miami at the moment?
Super windy.
Yeah, it's windy here, actually, strangely, today.
Yeah, super windy.
Okay, well, hang on to everything. you've got a new single out, which we'll talk about in a tick, called Lonely Teardrops. Tell me about your life first, because you are the son of Jackie Wilson. And tell me what happened and how you got involved with the music industry leading up to that discovery.
Well, I've a series of events that took place a while back. It wasn't planned. I was in the military, in the Navy, as I was telling you about. Before the podcast, and I found myself on a medical discharge and getting out in Pearl Harbor. So I was waiting for a discharge. I had been in the military about 8 years and waiting for the discharge, and I was hanging out with my Hawaiian friends when they taught me into singing a karaoke song at the karaoke bar.
Oh, wow.
Which was unheard of for me. I went anyway, and they taught me into singing My Girl out of all songs by The Temptations.
Yep.
And I remember the room going crazy, and I thought the people were nuts, because I was like, why are they going crazy? It's a simple song. But a man walked up by the name of Peter Eugene Hernandez, and he was from Brooklyn, New York. He had a doo-wop group in Waikiki called The Love Notes. And they were doing doo-wop music. They came from Brooklyn. There were seven guys, seven young ladies, and a little boy in the show named Bruno that was doing Baby Elvis, which was Peter's son. So I joined that group not knowing that it was going to turn into a serious job for me or something different. I joined the group, and I was doing it, I thought, for fun. All I was doing was singing backgrounds. First tenor, second tenor, and false, which I was learning from a musical coach there, a guy. His name was Johnny Valentine, which turns out to be Bruno's uncle, Pete's brother-in-law.
So everybody was related to everybody.
Oh, yeah, it was a family show.
Yeah.
Family show. And me, Bruno's brother was playing drums, Eric. He was 16 at the time. Bruno was 6. And then the rest of the guys and girls, you know, grown people from Brooklyn. And so I fell into it, fell in love with it, didn't realize I was going to love it, being on stage every night in Waikiki. I loved the life, the musical life, and I stuck with it. And so I started off singing background, and I eventually grew tired of background and wanted to become a front singer. I remember the first time I asked Pete, hey, man, can I sing lead on one of the songs? He says, okay, we'll give you In the Still of the Night by the Five Satin. So that was my first song.
How did it go? How did it go?
Say again?
How did it go, your first song up
front? How did the song go?
How was it for you? How was the experience?
When I stepped up the front singer, it was great, you know, blowing my mind. Everybody was going crazy, and Pete started giving me more and more. And I remember the day Pete said, you know what, I'm going to have you do the Jackie Wilson medley, because we did all the doo-wop singers, and then we went through some of the rock and roll icons like Chubby Checker, Little Richard, Chuck Berry. We had Pretty Woman. What's his name? Pretty Woman, straight down the street. What is his name? I forgot. Anyway, we was doing all these different acts from the 50s and 60s.
Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison, yeah. We had Roy Orbison, Elvis. Oh, but Elvis was the kid. The kid was the only one doing Elvis in the show.
Right.
He was six, Bruno. And so I worked with that family until Paul Revere of the Raiders walked in and saw me, and he walked in to see Bruno because they own the show called Legends in Concert, impersonation show. They came in to see Bruno because of the Elvis thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they saw Elvis, Paul saw me. And Paul walked up to me and said, "Man, you know who you look like?" And I said, "Yeah, I get it all the time. I'm like Jackie Wilson." He goes, "Yeah, you ought to come over to my show and do Jackie Wilson for me." And I said, no, I'm not an impersonator. I'm an artist.
Right.
And he laughed. And so one thing led to another. He asked me three times. And on the third time, I went in an audition. They hired me. And that was the beginning of me portraying Jackie Wilson, not knowing at the time that I was related to him. Never thought I was related to him. Never really saw him. Because when I was doing research on him, I couldn't find but one picture on him. And I went to the library. I could only find a paragraph on him, about him. I couldn't find anything about him. And I was telling Paul, I said, "Paul, it's hard for me to figure out how to portray somebody I can't find any information on."
Mm-hmm.
So Paul said, "Don't worry about it. Dick Clark was a big fan of Jackie Wilson. He had him on the show all the time. I'm sure you got some video. I get it from him." Dick Clark came back with, "No, you can't use any of my video." And I'm not giving you any. Now, they were best friends and they were business partners. So Paul was upset. Like, "What do you mean?" He said, no, I'm not. I'll come check your guy out, but no. Can't use any of my video. And so I had to wait till YouTube came out. But by then, I was doing Jack. Paul told me, he said, "You know what? Just do you." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You're so much like him. Just do you. Do the best you can, and people are going to buy you as Jackie Wilson." People hear with their eyes.
Yeah.
Paul Revere.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, because I didn't think I sound like him either. So it's like, okay. And I did that, and 2 years into doing the show, Paul decided he wanted to send me to Atlantic City. And when he sent me to Atlantic City, that's when I met Four Tops, and that's when this whole thing came out about, you know, me being related to Jackie.
That somebody wanted to do a blood test just to check you out, yeah?
Yeah, we did.
Amazing. Yeah. Right, I'm going to do something special here now. I'm going to play two little snippets of songs. But okay. I'm going to play just so that listeners can compare your voices, okay, which is a fun thing to do, I think.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm going to start off with a little bit of your dad, Jackie Wilson, Higher and Higher. Just a little bit. So I can't tell you how many times I've played that when I was a club and disco DJ years ago before I got into radio. A lot, that's for sure.
I can imagine.
Yeah, fantastic. And what a classic, you know, from Jackie Wilson. But now I'm going to play your new single now, which is why you're here. And the listeners can just compare the voices. Here we go. I will. That's brilliant. I love it. What a great, lovely, bouncy song that is. Bobby.
Yeah, yep. Barry Gordy wrote that song. And he wrote it as a blues ballad first, and they recorded it as a blues ballad.
Right.
Billy Roquel Davis, which is one of the first people I met in the family, he was my dad's first cousin. And he let me have the demo tape of that, where he, Barry Gordy, and my dad was in a room somewhere, and I guess in New York, and they were learning the song. Barry Gordy's playing piano on it. I can't believe, to hear him play the chords, and he was messing up a couple of chords, bling, bling, you know, he's hitting the wrong notes. And I said, what am I supposed to do with this? He says, give you inspiration. And that's what Billy said. And so Billy was one, you know, Billy was the one that hired Barry Gordy for Brunswick, because Billy was the guy in the scenes, back of the scenes, that hired the band and produced a lot of the records with Jackie in the early days. And then he hired Barry Gordy, because at the time he was dating Gwen Gordy.
All right.
And living with her. They were living together. And he hired Barry, and Barry came in with Reed Petit and Lonely Teardrops.
Amazing.
And so those are one of the two songs they put out. Of course, they wrote a lot more songs together. They wrote That's Why I Love You So, I'll Be Satisfied, one of the big ones. Just a whole bunch of songs, man.
Mm, absolutely. Oh, wow. It's like a music factory.
And I didn't even know Et Cetera, Et Cetera. I didn't know they even wrote that one until I got to England. I had never heard it. And when I got to the UK to do a rockabilly show, they hired me as a headliner, you know, for one of the shows, Rhythm Riot, one of the ones that hired me in the UK. And they said, can you do Et Cetera, Et Cetera? And I'm like, what? I never heard of it. I had to learn it. I had to learn that song and a whole bunch of Northern Soul songs that were really big in the UK, you know.
So when you tour, what's the mix of music? Is it some of your father's and some of yours? Or how does it go when you're on stage?
Well, in the beginning, when I was just doing Strictly Jackie, it was all Strictly Jackie's music, early 50s all the way up to the 70s. Mm. But now, as an artist, you know, I do mix in my music, my originals. Cover, of course, I have to cover a few of my dad's songs, and then I cover some of the other artists of the day, like Bruno Mars, because he's a good friend of mine. His dad is the one that got me started. And then, got to say that the little kid that was playing Baby Elvis was Bruno Mars. Forgot to say that.
Well, anyway, I know you said Bruno, but you didn't mention his surname, Bruno Mars. My word.
Well, his surname is Peter Eugene Hernandez Jr. That's his name.
Okay.
But his father named him after a wrestler called Bruno Martellis or Martinez or something like that. He was a wrestler. But Bruno was chubby when he was young. That's why he named him Bruno.
Okay.
Nicknamed him Bruno. And so that name stayed with him. And then when he got signed with Atlantic Records, they came up with Bruno Mars. So I cover some of his songs as well as music of the day and standards. I call them standards, like Benny King and the Coasters and Drifters, Temptations, Tops, Miracles, Spinners, all the greats.
Amazing. I've got to come and see you when you're on tour. I mean, what's touring like? Have you got a few dates booked up?
Yeah, I'm booked this whole year. I'm all over. New York, Philadelphia, North Carolina, Texas, Denver. I got a few shows in Europe, in the UK, Brussels, Belgium. I just got back from doing a show in Munich called Rock That Swing. It was fun. I had a 30-piece orchestra.
Oh, wow.
And we had about 2,500 people there. It's a little video out with me singing Sam Cooke's "Twist the Night Away."
Yeah,
with the band, with the orchestra. It's online, or if you go to YouTube and just put in "Rock That Swing," Bobby Wilson, it'll come up. So there's a lot of good things that are happening around the world. I mean, around my musical world. Plus, I'm writing new material, getting new songs out, and I'm very thankful that this song got released. And we got a few more that we're going to release before the year's out. So
wow.
Keep watching.
Well,
listening.
We'll have to have another talk when those come out as well, then. It sounds pretty exhausting to me, that tour, all those different places. You know, how do you cope with the tiredness and the travel and everything?
I don't know. A lot of people who knew my father says he gave me all his gifts, including his energy.
Mm.
So I know that he loved to entertain. He loved to be on stage. So if he wasn't on stage, he felt like people forgot him. Maybe I have that little bit of that in me too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still climbing the ladder of a musical success, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I'm still building my audience. A lot of people don't know I'm out there, and I'm working hard to change that. I love performing live. I love acting and singing. And so a lot of that stuff is going to come into play within the very near future. And so I love the fact that I can keep Jackie's music going, especially to the younger generation. A lot of my shows, when I do on cruise ships, the audience is filled with kids. And most of my entertainers don't like that because it's a distraction. For me, I love it because it gives me a chance to teach. And the first thing I tell the kids is, you can pull out your phones because I'm going to have you Google some of these names I'm about to call out. And the kids love it. And I said, no, I'm serious. Tell your parents, give your phone. I'm looking at the kids. I said, give me the phone because I'm going to call out a name like Sam Cooke. I want you to Google that name.
Yeah.
I said, I want you to Google Jackie Wilson. And they're right at, they're on it. Like,
What a great attitude. That's a great attitude because, you know, most people would probably be really cross that people weren't looking at them on stage and what have you, you know, and you've handled that very, very well. I think that's a great idea.
I think I'm a big kid. I got big kid energy. So when I see the little smiling faces, I did a show 2 days ago I'm on the ship right now. I'm on the Independence of the Seas Royal Caribbean ship. Nice, very nice ship. Holds about 4,000 people. And we're doing the show, full house. It's like 50% children. I mean, I'm impressed that the parents are bringing the children to the shows because they stopped doing that. I mean, for a while, there was nobody bringing the children to the shows. And I was like, why are you not, you know, educating the children on live music? Because they just don't know it. All they know is the beats and listening to rap and pop pop music, certain pop music. And to actually, unless, you know, the upper middle classes, they're not going to shows. They're not going to Broadway, you know. So I thought it was great that they brought them in. Like I said, it's a teaching moment, and I get a chance to dig into their minds and have them have fun with music. So I was doing Little Richard's Good Golly Miss Molly.
Yeah.
And I noticed this little girl, about probably 9 years old, is dancing like crazy in front of the stage. But I can see in her eyes, she's not showing off. She just loves it.
Just enjoying herself. Yeah.
Yeah, she enjoys it. So I finished the whole song, and I pointed to her. I said, what is your name, little girl? And she said, Molly. I said, Molly. I said, you are wonderful. I said, don't lose that spirit. You know, she has that innocence. Mm. She didn't care who was looking at her. She just had a good time. And nobody told her to sit down. You know, and I just loved it. She had the spirit of somebody from the 60s. She gave me that flower power vibe. And she was only like 9 years old, you know.
Bless her. When you're singing your dad's hits, how do you feel? Mm-hmm. Does it make you feel proud?
I'm proud to do it. Yeah.
Mm.
I try to keep pride in check, though. Pride can get you in trouble. I'm just happy how people react. I don't, like I said, I never thought I sounded like him. And when Tony and I did that song, the producer, Tony Mander, when we did that song, I said, listen, man, I want to sound like me. don't make me sound like Jackie.
Right.
And I said, I don't want to try to produce Jackie's sound. That's what I said. Mm, I want to sound like this is Bobby singing. This is coming from my heart.
Tony is a very good producer. I've interviewed him as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so we did it. And the first song we did, actually, that we released was Sweetest Feelings. And you cannot tell my version from his. And I didn't even believe it myself, because when he played it back to me, like months later after we recorded, he says, "You ready to hear the first one?" I said, "Yeah." And he played Sweetest Feelings, and I went, "Hey, man, I told you. Well, is that Jackie?" He said, "No, man, that's you."
Wow.
And I was like flabbergasted, because I really never, I have a lower register than him. He has a, as my vocal coach described it, she says, you and Jackie Wilson have the same voice, except his voice has a different color. He has high blue, sky blue sounds. Mm. You have deep blue sounds. But it's the same sound.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would totally agree with that.
And I was like, oh, okay, because I didn't know what she was talking about. And I had just started the business. And at that time, when she said we had the same sound, I was asking her to teach me how to sing Lonely Teardrops, because he was using a fake voice and I didn't know how to do it. Because when I played the song, she goes, "That's not his natural voice." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "He's using a fake voice. It's called placement." Yep. She says, "I would like to hear another one of his songs." And then we put on Only You, Only Me. Then I heard his voice. She showed me the difference. She said that song he's doing for the studio, that's called being an artist. That's called recording. That's a recording artist. He's making that sound to match the music. He's making that sound to create a different type of vibe. Now, when you listen to Only You, Only Me, it's a ballad. And he's on he's really singing almost like an opera sing.
Mm, all right.
Yeah, and so it's a total different tone, and he don't have that, "My heart is crying. He don't have that tone.
Yeah.
Which is Chubby Checker, don't get mad at me, but it's a Chubby Checker tone. "Come on, baby, let's do that twist." It's the same tone.
Yeah. I can hear that. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's called fake voice.
Yeah.
And so she was teaching me that, because I had never had vocal lessons. And I took it serious when I was working for Bruno's dad, and he gave me my first check, and it blew me away, because I was still in the Navy, and the check was three times what I make in the Navy for a whole month.
Wow.
For 1 week.
Wow.
So I was, wait a minute. This is serious business. Because at first I was goofing around like it wasn't, this was just fun.
Well, that's the best way, isn't it? It's the best way is to have fun with what you're doing and love what you're doing and so on.
But I was thinking, I'm just going to do this for a little while. And then I was waiting on my orders to come in. And when my orders come in, I was going to go back to South Carolina and work for a nuclear power company.
Right.
And so, because I'm a trained engineer at the time. And then I rescinded that job and stayed in Hawaii. And I've been an entertainer ever since.
You have indeed. What advice would you give to somebody listening to this episode of Music Stories? You've got so many stories yourself, which is fantastic, and so much experience. But what general piece of advice, the best piece of advice you can give to somebody trying to make it in the music business, based on your experience, just a general piece of advice?
For me, there was no plan B. I had to get in my mind that this is what I wanted to do. This was what I loved doing. This brought me the most joy. It brought people joy. And that's the key. It's got to be something you really love doing that's going to bring you abundance. And it'll bring you abundance in music, in money, in love, in your spirit, and in your health. Because when you're doing something that you really love to do, that comes from your soul, comes from your depth, whatever that something is, you can be a person that can build businesses. You can be a person that can teach. You can be a person that is a marketing guru. But that's your desire and that's your love. I just happened to find out when Bruno Mars' family hired me, that singing was my bag. Entertaining was what I want to do. I didn't know that before then. And once I found out what it is, then it was plan A. There was no plan B. There was no, okay, if this doesn't work out, I'll go back to sweeping the streets. No, it was only plan A. And because it's only plan A, I had to write it out. I had to plan it out. I had to pray it out. I had to rely on God. And when the obstacles came, because they will come, I just had to keep getting up. Every time I got knocked down, every time I got a no, I had to keep getting up until I reach a plateau where it's everything I do seems to bring me abundance in my music. My work is here. My friends, I call them friends, they're fans, they're here. And my inspiration to write new music and to do new music is here. And instead of feeling like I'm growing tired or old, I feel like I'm growing younger.
That's an amazing piece of advice. One of the best we've ever had. I always ask for a bit of advice to go on the episode. Bobby Wilson, thank you so much for talking to me. Your single.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's a great pleasure to talk to you. Fascinating. I could talk to you for hours, actually. Lonely Teardrops, your new single, is out and available now everywhere. Your website is bobbywilsonmusic.com. We'll put that with a text that goes with this episode as well, so people can find you with a link. And thanks again for talking to me, Bobby. You've been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.